What's the 411? You're tuned to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollifield. Joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome Merk. Merk, native Tallahassee, Florida, MC and graphic designer, co-founder of Good Seed Clothing, and member of hip-hop group Vintage Tux.
Glad to be here.
Welcome. Seven Cypher, native of Philadelphia, PA, resident of Tallahassee, producer, member of the hip-hop group Vintage Tux. Welcome.
How you doing?
Good. Space Righteous, hails from Denver, Colorado, recording arts degree, earned in Orlando, Florida, certified herbalist, member of a locally African drum dance group, Chi Niru Adima. Is that right?
Adimu.
Okay, correct me. Say it correctly for us, brother.
Chi Niru Adimu.
Okay, welcome to 411 Team.
Peace and greetings.
Okay. Eric Hicks, hails from Miami, Florida. Veteran music producer, bassist for the metal band The Stronghold.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Kel, a musician and Tallahassee native, currently working heavily in Tallahassee's jazz, hip-hop, R&B music. Go for it.
How you doing?
Okay. A to the L. Originally hails from Belfast, North Ireland, moved to Tallahassee in 2004. He is currently the co-host of two hip-hop radio shows in Tallahassee, Digging in the... You want to give them to us?
Yeah, sure. Digging in the Crates on Blazing 102.3 and the Underground Railroad on WVFS.
Okay.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome to 411 Team. You all bear with me. As I said in my listening audience, we're going to be at... I have no glasses, so I cannot see today, okay? But we're going to talk about this because this is important. Trayvon Martin, an unarmed 17-year-old African-American male, was confronted, shot, and killed on the evening of February 26, 2012. George Zimmerman, self-appointed neighborhood watch volunteer, sought out, pursued, and shot Trayvon Martin because he looked like a real suspicious guy. Initially, the case was a routine homicide in the city of Sanford, Florida. But the case evolved into a civil rights cause, examining racial profiling, gun laws, and the consequences. George Zimmerman was found not guilty of second-degree murder and acquitted of manslaughter. This case has sparked national outcry and debate over racial relations. What was your reaction to the verdict or ruling in the Trayvon Martin case? Whomever, I'll just start with you, Merk.
Well, my reaction, I really and truly, I wasn't surprised, mm-hmm. but I really truly felt just tired. I was at work when it happened, and I just felt tired, and a physical tired, too. And it's just injustice, blatant injustice, and in my eyes, I can only speak for me. Mm-hmm. So that was my reaction, pretty
okay.
much.
A to the L.
I was just disappointed. As much for the verdict as, you know, I've been following it throughout, and I could see throughout that it really didn't look like much of a case was being made. And so there was a really strong chance that this man was going to get off. So again, like Merk, there was an element of, man, I'm not really surprised about this, but just really, really disappointed because you kind of feel that you're almost invested in it when you spend so much time watching it, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it just had me down.
Seven, do you share the same sentiments or where you sit?
Mine was bad because, I mean, I knew
I know I'm not a psychic, but I knew what was going to happen because it been happening. Mm-hmm. It's just like the Martin case was like the OJ trial. It was like nobody, they weren't even watching the soap operas. You know what I mean? They was watching that. So I knew what was going to happen, but when it dropped, I went ham. Mm-hmm. I went ham on Facebook because I was on Facebook at the time. Mm-hmm. And I said a lot of stuff that, you know what I'm saying? Okay, when I speak about injustice, I have a nasty, ugly mouth, but I speak the truth. But then again, I'm cool with, other races that's my friend, but right. I was going ham. And then, it kind of put them in that same box. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. it was just like an outcry. Because at the end of the day, that's all you got. Because they'll say, yeah, let's go march. But you just go march, and you just get sweaty and tired, and you go home. And then at the end of the day, it keeps happening over and over again.
What does it accomplish?
You know, mm-hmm. and that's, I got so much to say. It's just,
okay, well, we want to hear it. That's what this is about. Space Righteous.
I would say I was more than anything, I was calm. Because when you have certain knowledge and you invest your time in certain bits of information, the outcry really, more so it comes from people that haven't been mm-hmm. researching and knowing these particular facts. So it's an outcry, but if you have, this is nothing new under the sun, and there's more to come.
That's a true story.
Kelly, you share with the rest of the...
Yeah, I felt like a rush of different emotions because on one side of yourself, you watch the case. You know they really didn't make a great case. And then on the other side, you're watching different news channels, and they're all spinning it different ways. And, they're talking about the six-woman jury, so you're holding out thinking, that'll play in his favor or different things. So it was kind of a... I described it to somebody as when the Heat beat the Pacers and everybody thought the Pacers might win. And it's like, after the game, you're like, you knew they weren't going to win. It was like, but during it, you were like,
cheering, you were hoping.
True story indeed.
Uh-huh. Okay. Eric.
I was disappointed in a couple of things. I'm a criminal justice major. Okay. So I was definitely disappointed in the judicial system, or at least who was appointed over the case, because he dropped the ball. Mm-hmm. My coworker and I, both of us are criminal justice majors, we made a better case than he did. Mm-hmm. That's hindsight.
Yeah.
I was also disappointed for the family, because I don't think they got the closure that they sought. Granted, mm-hmm. I mean, the situation was horrible. And it could have been avoided, mm-hmm. but it wasn't. So I expected some kind of closure for them, but it definitely did not get it.
Yeah. When you think about the whole case and the situation, what would you identify as the real salient issues, salient components of this whole case? One thing I wanted to say to you, Eric, before we even address this, and this is to everyone, since you said you were a criminal justice, one of the salient points that I've heard in many of the talking heads is that the jury did what they were asked to do, okay? That they were asked to see, if it really was second-degree murder. And if you look very narrowly at the law, they followed the law. And I just wondered, do you agree with that?
Yeah. The jury, yes. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying with the information they were supplied,
right.
They could mm-hmm. have been provided quality or better quality or more. Mm-hmm. Not to get into what happened, right. But if they tell you not to get out of a vehicle and you do so, then you have... created this environment in which you say that you are standing your ground.
Well, and another way of looking at it is you can be the aggressor, get out, initiate a fight, and then kill the individual saying you were defending himself. Yeah. I mean, am I thinking correctly?
That is not self-defense. If you create the environment.
But isn't that what happened?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's talk about it. Yeah. What are the salient issues? Right, what do you all see? Seven.
What I feel is that, I ain't going to say a lot because I think this is true, a fact. When he saw Trayvon Martin, he already deemed him a thug. And you know why? When another race don't know your race, sometimes if you whatever they can grasp on to know who you are, that's what they do. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, our music of the day is so negative. If you listen to rap music, all they talk about, I'm better than this man, I get his girl, I sell drugs, I fix up my car, I'ma kill him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if another race don't know you and they hear your music and that's all they hear, but it ain't just that. It's what they see on TV. You know what I mean? Okay.
So what I hear you saying, and you all feel free to get into this, you know, what I hear you saying is that it was a case of racial profiling.
Oh, yeah.
Racial definitely. Profiling was one of the salient components of this whole situation. And feel free.
They couldn't. The disappointing thing is that they didn't. The prosecution almost straight away discounted that as a reason, and you know, a lot of people don't agree with the decision of the jury. But as you said, they made the decision based on this very small piece of the law that they were told to work with. Mm-hmm. So right. Him getting out of the car, if he doesn't get out, none of this happens, and we're not having this conversation.
Yeah.
But they don't talk about that. That's not part of what they rule on. They don't rule on him following Trayvon Martin. They don't rule on whichever one hit whichever one first. Mm-hmm. All they care about is that split second before he pulled the gun, and that's what they make that rule on. Mm-hmm. But all the stuff that came before it leads into it, but they can't judge on it. Right. And that's what I think is frustrating for everyone, you know. And everyone talks about the stand your ground. I mean, he didn't even use that. Everyone talked about it, but he didn't right. use the stand your ground law to get off. He used straight up self-defense.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so that's frustrating for me, you know, seeing a lot of people talk about stand your ground. And, it was talked about in the case, but it wasn't used.
Right.
And so that's where people kind of go off half-cocked. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That haven't been following the trial or use certain parts of information but not others.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating because, you know, they let their emotions rule rather than looking at the facts. The jury did a good job with the information they had, but they could have did so much more, you know?
Yeah.
I look at it as it having to be racial profiling because they had break-ins in the area. So, when Zimmerman went out, I really believe he was looking for somebody black.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's why he was on.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to the break-ins in the area, the break-ins could have been done by a Hispanic. They could have been done by a white. They could have been done by somebody black. But in Zimmerman's mind, all of them were associated with somebody black.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of the media. I mean,
music and television.
Not to be at all on Zimmerman's side, but I really do feel that he was afraid. But not because of Trayvon Martin being a 17-year-old black boy. I think he was afraid because of what the media has shown him what a 17-year-old black boy should be.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, when he came face-to-face with one, he had to go on, like Seven was saying, what he saw and what he heard, and he was frightened.
Okay.
And that's how I feel.
And I want to expound on what he's saying is because there were reports the Sanford Police Department released a report talking about how in the weeks before, George Zimmerman had been calling the police
46 times
on children.
Mm-hmm.
He called the police on a 7-year-old that was playing outside. He called the police on somebody because they were riding through without their headlights on, different, like, very minute details. So he obviously was looking for a certain, he was looking for a certain race, because you couldn't be looking for a certain profile of person, because a full profile is, you know, height, weight, you know, age. Mm-hmm. If you call the police on a 17-year-old and then you attack, I mean, if you call the police on a 7-year-old and you attack a 17-year-old, that either was a really big 7-year-old or, but the point that I'm making is the vigilantism was the main issue, because even though he seemed like he's a little crazy or not altogether, he it's not right that he's calling the police all those other times.
He was a wannabe cop. I think that's another part we have to. Well, excuse me, not for interrupting.
Yeah, I understand.
But I think that part is very important, because he was a wannabe cop, and all of the history indicates that that's what he had wanted to be, and he had appointed himself as, you know, this neighborhood watch guy. I don't think he officially had that title.
Yeah, the police were never hiring.
Oh, no.
He kept going to different police stations and didn't get hired. Right. And see, what it was, he was on medication. You know what I mean? Okay. For that ADHD. Mm-hmm. And they probably say, well, nah, we ain't going to give you no job. Mm-hmm. Why he ain't go to the hospital and get his blood drawn? I mean.
Well, that was on the Sanford police. They didn't, but you know what I mean? As far as when he committed that happened, they didn't do anything.
Yeah,
they
him making them blood. Phone calls, mm-hmm. him calling, you would never believe this, but him calling the police, that was his alibi.
Okay.
But going back to what you just said right there, you know, the police straight away believed his story, because they buy into what Merck said, the stereotype of the scary black male.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because only one aspect of the black male is pushed through hip-hop, television, music, books, all that, you know.
And it's negative.
Sports.
All the time.
Right.
But I also believe that it's an image. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have anybody that calls me when I'm in my work attire.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But then you're getting into that territory. If you wear a hoodie, then you're the scary bad black guy.
Let me ask you, hold your thoughts for 1 minute. We got to take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about racial profiling and imaging and all of that. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollifield, and joining me here at the table, I welcome again Merck, A to the L, 7, Space Righteous, Kel, and Eric. We have been talking about the Trayvon Martin case. Right before we went on break, we started talking about images, and I think really what we're talking about is racial profiling. And racial profiling is a very egregious form of discrimination. That's basically what it is. Racial profiling targets a group because they belong to that particular group, whatever it may be, and this group is believed to be negative, to be engaged in criminal activity. So That's what we're talking about, in essence, is racial profiling, okay? Because, you know, you were saying that you hadn't been exposed. Eric, you were saying that you hadn't been racially profiled. Is that what you were saying?
Okay, let me preface that by. Okay. I was back in the day when I was doing wrong. Mm-hmm. When I stopped doing wrong, I stopped being profiled. Okay. The way I carry myself.
Okay.
And it gave nobody the reason to. Now,
but that's an exception because, yeah, you know, the Attorney General, Eric Holder, talked about how he was racially profiled. Yeah. And you were just been, I would say that you have just been the exception.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter how you're dressed. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It really has to do. They take one aspect. It has to do with the color of your skin.
Yep.
And you just happen to be in the right
place. Because we done had a lot of shootings way since
you can be wearing, you know, a Brooks Brothers suit.
Yeah.
And driving whatever. Of course, I mean, if you are wearing a Brooks Brothers suit and a Lexus, then your racial profile, he must be a drug dealer. Yeah. Okay,
And the one thing I want to say about that is, no matter what I'm wearing, you should have the common sense not either follow me or act on whatever. Because you can't control what the images are in your mind, your preconceived notions. Mm-hmm. But as an adult, as I'm only 23, and I have the sense to say that if this person looks threatening to me, but he hasn't done anything, I haven't seen him do anything yet, I can't act on that. And that's the main issue, because I can't control what's in George Zimmerman's heart.
And I think the key thing that you said is threatening. How do we define what is threatening? Well, automatically, if your this color of your skin is black or brown, you threatening. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just automatic.
Because the music is threatening.
Mm-hmm. But even if you don't have any music associated with you, you know what I mean? Yeah. You just, as soon as the first thing they see, mm-hmm. is the color of your skin.
But I know I believe the music is always associated with you.
Oh,
because
there
was one situation I had. I used to work at Publix, and Jay Cruz can attest to this. There was a point in my life where the only type of music that I listened to was jazz.
Mm-hmm.
So you never saw me listening to hip hop. You never saw me listening to anything else. But we were cleaning the store after the store closed. And the girl was like, I'm going to play some music on my phone. What do you want to listen to? I was like, I don't care. Just play whatever. And she's like, oh, I know what you want to listen to. And she started playing Ice Cream Paint Job. Now, I didn't say anything about that, but time, I was not listening to anything like that. And she made that statement.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I'm at work, so I'm in a uniform. I'm in a Publix uniform, so I don't dress any kind of way. I'm well spoken, you know. When I was in school, I got called an Oreo because of the way I speak.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't give her any kind of indication that I was in the
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It sets the pace.
Right. I mean, I've been with these guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These guys on each side of me standing outside a spot, and the only reason that we haven't had any hassle from the police is because I've been standing with them.
Exactly.
And it's very evident that if I was not there, then the police would come to them, okay, guys, time to move. Mm-hmm. Now, not that there's any trouble going on, but just the fact that, there's three or four black guys congregating, that could be a problem. I could stand there with three or four white guys, and everyone will dap us up and say hello and walk on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's not even anything to do with violence or potential violence. It's just the stereotypical image of there could be trouble if these guys are around. And that's wrong.
Yeah. And the reason why our culture, people don't want to blame the music. But can you blame if the music telling you to kill?
And
then when another race look at it, they intimidated because when they make music, they making feel good music, you know.
The only thing I would expound on there is not just the music as the media. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the newspapers, printed media, and all that. When you see people of color in newspapers, it's for something bad.
Yeah.
It's for something negative.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it is a whole milieu.
Yeah.
It's a whole environment.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
the music plays into it, but the printed media plays into it too. So you see it everywhere.
And it's little subconscious stuff. You know, it's not even that it has to be serious. Some of it's actually become a running joke. Like, who's the first character killed in a horror movie? Because they're expendable. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. So, you know, and that's just a little thing. That doesn't really say anything in the grand scheme of things. It's just another little chip.
What if Trayvon had been white? What do you think?
We wouldn't be here.
No, I don't think it would have happened. I don't think it would happen.
Me personally, with George Zimmerman, it could have been anybody.
Okay, so you think it?
I think he
because of the vigilante mindset.
Man, okay. He should have went to the army.
And that's a lot of people that get kicked out of the army and can't get in the military. They do, you know, roam the streets, check on the neighbors. You know, self-appointed. I had one on a private road that I live on, and nobody asked you to do that.
I'm thinking, was he getting a
check?
You
telling me that somebody paid to my house?
He was doing it for free. I'm not finna go look for strangers and, you know, robbers for free.
No.
I think the most disappointing is, like you said, if Trayvon Martin was a white kid, we wouldn't be having this conversation. If you go further and say if George Zimmerman was black, then we would still be not be having this conversation because the trial would have been over and it wouldn't even have been on TV.
Yeah,
thank you.
Because
you
know a lady just got 20 years because she did a warning shot in the air.
I was going to bring that
up. Now, when they deliberated for her, it didn't take but 12 minutes. Now, for Zimmerman, it took like, what, 15?
16 hours.
Okay, and he was set free, but she got 20 years.
But that's where you have to be careful, though, and research these cases, though, because she tried to use stand your ground as a defense, and you could not use it in her case because they said she had a chance to flee where the situation happened, and she came back.
But what does it say about our society when we have Michael Vick, who goes to jail for 2 years? Don't get me wrong. Now, I love my dogs, okay?
Yeah, I got
two Rhodesian Ridgebacks, and I love them to death, okay? Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But he goes to jail for 2 years for dog abuse, animal abuse. And here we have someone killing a child, and they walk scot-free.
Yeah. Now, and he got
something's
he
not right
because they said he was a thug, and thugs, you know, they life don't mean nothing. You know, I see we say the music because that's the only thing that's talking bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you know, you talk about black people and the system, it all go around 360. The system made it all because you can't even get in the record industry unless you talking about negative. They have a chart that say, hey, you got to talk about selling drugs, da-da-da-da. You know what I'm saying? If you don't do that, you ain't getting
you're
no
not
deal.
Gonna get
and at the end of the day, when I was growing up, we had balance. And you know why? Okay, yeah, NWA was out and they was holding guns and all that on the cover, right? But check, okay, when the song came on, it was negative, right? But by the time it went off, it had a solution.
Right.
There's no balance right now. It ain't nothing but straight negative, negative, negative. Okay. And see, at the end of the day, other cultures, you know, I guess it's not bothering them because, see, our music affect our culture because we die behind it. You know what I mean?
Well, and other cultures, because other cultures definitely emulate and listen to our music.
Yeah,
so I
definitely.
Think, you know, our music is really the trendsetter.
It is.
I mean,
right.
you look at people
in Japan, they own it hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something. Do you think, because this is something that I've noticed, I've heard, do you think that racial profiling makes us safer?
No.
I just heard that's been thrown out there. And I just want to get, you know, I want to get your response to it.
Racial profiling make who safer?
Just society.
Society safer. Well,
because what they're saying is that you know this group of people do these crimes.
Yeah.
Consequently, you know they do the crime. 75% of the crimes are committed by these groups of people. So therefore, we need to racially profile.
I mean, look at that stop and frisk that's going on
in New York. Yeah. You know, and I'll throw it out there to you all.
But you know,
let me just start and go around.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's getting good.
That statement, the racial profiling makes us safer. We, as black Americans, have never been safe in America, in my personal opinion. We were killed in 1963, and we're getting killed in 2013, and it's still illegal. Proof. But that's the law. But people said that the system, either the justice system works or it doesn't. I think it doesn't work because you still have six individuals' interpretation of the law to make a decision about someone's fate. And when you have that, that's dangerous, in my opinion, because...
I agree with you.
You have to have... The prosecution had to prove the case. So, really and truly, they had to persuade six individuals in one direction. But they had to get these people to interpret the law in a short amount of time. The law is the trickiest thing you could ever read, you know, and it's designed that way. So you got people making the laws, you got people that's supposed to uphold the laws, but if you got corruption within those people, then the laws would be corrupt.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you have to look at the composition of those who are judging you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just throwing this out here. I want to hear from you.
Yeah, because we proved a point, though. We proved a point every day sometime because the youth is influenced by, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you used to could say, oh, he act like that because he don't got a daddy at home, or he act like that because he ain't got a mom at home. They'll have both parents at home and still. and it's because all it is programming and conditioning. That's all it is. See, man, it's just so crazy. People don't even understand.
And one thing I want to say about that is I think a bright side to this is that now that we have the internet and we talked about the music industry, what you saw in the early days of hip-hop, we had the balance because they didn't know there was money in it. You saw guys like Too Short and NWA sell millions of records with no help from a label. So the labels say, okay, well, this is what they want. If I push this, then they'll sell more.
But NWA now, were really telling a story. I mean, if you listen, you know.
I understand what you're saying.
I can talk to you about that.
But what I'm saying is now that we have the internet.
I mean, but yes, you are right. But what I'm saying is that was the start of telling the story.
Right. But I didn't get.
You know what I'm trying
to
say?
I didn't get to the end point, which is once the labels took over, they might not have picked up on that aspect. They switched it to, you'd be talking about money, clothes, cars, hoes. So that's what we got from pretty much that 1993 onward. And then you had Tribe and all those guys, but they just steadily fell off. But now that we have the internet, you look at the guys who really had the biggest years last year. Kendrick Lamar had probably the biggest year of anybody. He sold, I think Section 80 did really well. That was an independent album. He did really well without the label. You know what I'm saying? Because of the internet. So now people can, we don't have to wait for the label to give us music. Yeah. So now we can decide what we're going to see.
I think the problem is though with that, with music, and I've been doing this for a long time in radio, is that since I would go to like 97, 98, and Bill Clinton signed a piece of paper that let two or three companies come in and swipe up and buy all these radio stations, which is why Blazing 102.3, where I work, sounds like Hot 97 in New York, sounds like Power 105, sounds like K-Day, because they have now programmed these six particular records to run every hour because it's all market research. And the balance that Seven talked about and then you talked about was you could hear NWA. You could hear this street record and then go to a Kid and Play record or a Tribe Called Quest record to lighten stuff up. Now even the light stuff is foul-mouthed, is vulgar. And to get into that radio kind of circuit, you have to make music like that. Kendrick Lamar, to get get that radio play, started making records like that. You know, and that's not what his album sounds like, but his singles to get radio play sound like a lot of other stuff that's on the radio. And there's not an easy way to break that.
So we promote it. Society, the dollar. That's what it is. I won't say how society, but the dollar promotes that.
Well, the thing is, sorry for cutting everyone off, but what's the most frustrating thing for me for all this is that everyone's on Facebook, on Twitter, on email, on the radio, talking about Trayvon Martin and what can we do. And next week, it will have all died down. All these marches that everyone is doing will not achieve anything unless you have a plan behind it. And so the law, if you don't agree with it, work on a way to change it. But that's not going to happen overnight. You need to put people in places where they can, you know, make these changes, which means you have to get out and vote. People will stand in line all day for Jordans. They'll run out to a Rick Ross concert, but they don't know where their voting booth is. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You know what?
And that's wrong.
Don't you think that that's by design?
Exactly.
Don't you think that what they really want you to think in the first place? Don't you think that's the way they want it?
Everything is a program. Everything is a program.
When you have a small group of people in control over the masses, you can't physically control them.
That's right. I'm going to stop you on that, and we're going to come back. You're tuned in to 411 Team. We never have enough time. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get back to you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. You know, a tragedy has definitely become a travesty. Laws in Florida allow someone with reasonable fear of great bodily harm or death to use lethal force. The state of Florida supports laws that we mentioned earlier, sentence a woman to 20 years in prison for firing a gun in the air. And as we've mentioned before, the same nation, sends Michael Vick to prison for 2 years for animal abuse. Yet you kill a 17-year-old child and you walk free, okay? Again, let's look at this racial profiling. We have protesters now down at the governor's office. They're comprised of Florida New Majority, Dream Defenders, and other student activists. And they're demanding to meet with Governor Rick Scott and calling for a special session to address all these issues that are surrounding the Trayvon Martin case. What do you think about this? Where do we go from here?
I ain't never heard so much word talk of change and don't see none in sight. And, you know, and then, like, how can our culture, it was put on us. Like, I know when I go around anybody, I don't judge them, you know. And it's like, for us to have change, everybody has to come together, not just one race. How can we heal ourselves when we still getting dumped on, you know? Like, listening to, what's B-37, what the juror, she was saying, well, yeah, where she come from, and she don't sound too educated, and, you know, I mean.
That's a good point.
I think that in America, we will not get full change until America becomes a society that can't exist without another race.
That we're codependent.
Exactly. If really and truly, if you think about it, your light bill, everything, somebody white owns. If everybody black disappeared, they could still function.
Because
they got everything. They own everything. But if everybody white disappeared and we were just left here,
we'll be scarred.
We don't know where stuff is. We don't know. They run everything. And until we are a nation where it's equal for everybody, truly, where
Well, that's changing. They say
and it's getting there,
the climate,
but until it's there,
complexion.
We just really can't.
I really think that as much as the media says this race plays a part of it, mm-hmm. it does not.
Oh, okay.
You have bad people versus good people. People that don't want to work, that want to go out and rob and do whatever, commit crimes, versus people that are upstanding citizens that are doing what they need to do to enjoy life.
But see, they only show the black people, though.
But no. Look at this right here.
They only show the black people. That's all I see.
If you look in the paper, you will still see them. All the meth arrests, child molestation, you see them. They're just not put into the spotlight.
Because that does not sell. Right. That's the problem.
That does not sell. Mm-hmm. When you get mm-hmm. a group of black men that have done something, that's going to sell.
Yeah.
Or if you're going to get something that's black versus white, that's going to sell.
Did any of you have? Yes, go right ahead, Space.
I tell you what sells: private prisons. That's what sells.
And that are stock in them.
That are filled with predominantly African Americans. If we really want to get to the bottom of this, it's really not hard. And the first thing we have to do is understand true history and not his story.
Yeah.
If we overstand who we are and our contributions in America, we would know where we can go. And the reason why if we look at African Americans, blacks as a whole, the music is not a direct representation of every single individual black male, but mm-hmm. what it is a stereotype. And we don't know who we are, a lot of us. And if we, the information is there, the monuments are there, the stones are there. There's a certain part of history where it breaks off, and it's that part of history that they don't want to teach in kids. So if our children knew who they were in relation to the world and the contributions that they've made to the world, yeah. which is basically everything, when you go back, you can begin to heal the problems. But if you don't know who you are, then you are looking for something to represent. And in this case, the music industry, the movie industry, the food, mm-hmm. the air and water, everything is, so as you alluded to earlier, is a program. So mm-hmm. you're either going to play your part in the program or you're not going to play at all.
What do we tell our kids today? What do we tell our kids today?
I'm going to tell you something. A lie has been told, and we didn't tell it. You got to think about it. I got a daughter, 17 years old, go to Garvey. They still teaching the kids that Columbus discovered America.
But that's what responsibility do we take, and what do we tell, particularly here we talk about young black male, but what do we tell our kids today?
In this situation, that's the biggest question in multiple ways, because the first question is, we talk about all the negative imaging and all mm-hmm. of that, but going back to the original point, Trayvon didn't rob anybody.
Oh,
he didn't do anything.
Walking
so on. then the second question is, well, what do you do when somebody starts following you? Because at that point,
right?
How do you teach your child to lay down? When somebody comes at you and says, hey, what are you doing? You put your hands up and you treat them like they're the police?
The first thing you teach your kids is don't go with strangers.
Exactly.
Move away from strangers. You know what I mean?
Right, but Trayvon didn't have that option.
He tried to get away.
I think he's stealing.
To show respect to everyone.
Yeah.
That's easier said than like, you got to tell you, what you tell your kids is simple. The truth.
And telling the truth, because it's been lies told.
You have to sit your children down and let them know that this situation happened because of this. And I feel that it definitely has something to do with race, because race relations is a big problem in America. A to the L is a good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
He just moved to America
not
too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
A to the L can go to the bank and get a loan. I've been in America all my life, and I can go to the bank and they can turn me down just because I'm black. And I can go in there with the Brooks Brothers, and he can go in there with the Brooks Brothers.
I can go in jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You can go some flip-flops.
A to the L just got to the country, mm-hmm. and if both of us are straight-A students, mm-hmm. A to the L can get a scholarship because he was an exchange student. I may not qualify for financial aid. And I was born.
And I think that's a big part of the problem. You know, my perspective as an immigrant coming in here and gaining citizenship in the United States allows me to see it from a different perspective. You know, I came up in a mixed religious marriage. My parents over there, which is a very touchy subject. So I was schooled very quickly to take people as you found them and not judge based on religion. Then I come over here and you got the same arguments, but it's on race, you know? And what people have to understand, and there's too many people denying it, is that this type of stuff exists every day. What he just said. There is a thing called white privilege. And a lot of people will deny that it exists. And the first step that you have to admitting that something goes on is admitting that there is some kind of a privilege. That I can stand on the corner with these guys and the police won't look at them, but the minute I leave, they're in trouble. That I can get a loan and this man to the east side of me can't, purely because the color of my skin, and that's messed up. And the thing about it is that there's not enough white parents telling their kids that. There's not enough black parents telling their kids that. And so a lot of black kids are raised by what's in the media because their parents don't know any better. They're raised by the radio. They're raised by the media. They're raised by all this stuff that's just pumping negative. And so a lot of these Trayvon Martins up in here, their only chance of any success is to shoot a jump shot or catch a football or rap. That's their three options because they haven't been trained to do anything else because they don't know any better.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I grew up in the Grove in Miami, and there were kids dying left and right around me. My parents said they had had enough and moved me out of there so I could have a better life. And I did. You know?
But everybody can't move. Everybody can't move.
Not just move physically, move mentally. Move into a mindset that nothing is going to stop me. Move into a mindset that nobody's going to oppress me.
You could take an animal, which is the most
basic, docile,
anything. Put him in a room and put his back to the wall, and he'll fight his way out. You know what I'm saying? It don't matter. You can change your mind state, but if you in that room and you got your back against the wall, you're going to have to get your mind right. You being in the Grove, of course, you got yourself out of, or your parents got you out of that situation, but it's a lot of people that didn't. A kid's father can tell him the right thing to do, but his friends on the street, he want to hang with them and be cool. So that's going to infiltrate into his mind. And that's what's happening.
You know, parents, we got to be that hard, firm person that said, do not stray from me.
Nowadays. The program has got so much grip that you can have a great mom and dad and have a nurturing environment and you still be there. See what it is?
That's
people don't understand that if everybody was equal, man, this would be a great place. You know what I'm saying?
But that won't.
I know that. But the reason why it's problems just because of man. You know what I mean? I know that you in the Bible, you know, Adam and Eve, they did this and they did that. But it don't have to be that way. You know what I mean? But it is. But how can you won't change when, see, people, they done made everything today like a way of life. Oh, murder is a way of life. That's not a way of life. Dying of old age or natural causes. See, people are just put up with stuff. Okay, that's a way of life. And everybody say, well, yeah, whatever.
What's disappointing is when people get into some degree of power. You know, if you go back to the music, like a Jay-Z, you know, we all know what teenagers are like. They want to be trendy. They want to be accepted. So if their friends are telling them that, oh, this Jay-Z's cool, you need to get it. If Jay-Z had a half a dozen records on his record saying, you need to do this and you need to do that, he has struggled and made some great music, but got to that position where, it's not good to say that rappers or sports people should be role models, but in reality, but they are. And so that message, you know, give us a different message. You know what I'm saying? Not the same one.
Those who are in control.
And what we can do as adults is counter that by talking to the radio stations, not just the radio stations, but the advertisers. Yes. If you advertise on this station and they pumping poison all day, I'm not going to buy your product. Right. And if everyone kept their hands in their pockets for one day, that would sort a lot of trouble out.
That's what happened to Rick Ross. The Reebok dropped him because he said something and people actually...
And that's what I like, you being held accountable for your actions.
But the problem is, people will put a Trayvon Martin picture on their Facebook profile and think that they're doing something. Right. They're not following up and doing anything.
You know what
else?
Martin Luther King said, 5 days and it'll be forgot about. He said that back in the 60s. So check it out. The verdict happened Saturday. They was in the club. Okay, everybody mourning this 5 day week. When Friday come, they gonna be done forgot all about it because they gonna be in the club. Like Adele said it last year. We was hollering about Trayvon Martin when he first died. We did an LP for him, you know. Mm-hmm. And but Troy Davis, you know that they don't wash that shirt so much. It's you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They using that shirt to wipe their car. You know what I mean.
In the last couple of minutes, I mean. What do we do? Where do we go from here?
We need balance. That's what we need because we wouldn't blame the negative so much if we had balance because it's all about balance. And it ain't just in the music. Balance with race relations and communication, you know. Communication is key, really. You know, that's key. You know?
And really and truly, the old saying, you have to destroy in order to rebuild, that's what has to be done. You got to destroy it all and rebuild it from the ground up.
Yeah, and got to start telling the truth. Got to start telling
the
truth.
Future? I mean, do you have hope?
Oh, shoot, I'm scared. All I want is my daughter to have a future like I got. It's not good at what I got right now, but the things that I done found out as an adult, and you know, it blow your mind. The stuff that you don't find out, that people, if you tell somebody, they'll think you crazy.
Brothers, I just want to say thank you. I truly appreciate all of you coming and sharing your time and your thoughts with us. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get to 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical engineer, Evan Rossi. Audio copies are available, and if you would like to participate in 411 Team or have topic suggestions, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. That's 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org.